shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
And the first thing that I wrote down and what my reaction was.
Our rating may go away because our sponsors are leaving us.
Somebody would go in, order marijuana.
I'm Fred Thompson, and I approve this message.
I heart well, the next news.
What the hell? Wow. World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Yes, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Every night here, baby, we go through the looking glass and we take you to places other talk shows cannot take you to, where truth is our bitch. And you can find out more about us at philhendryshow.com. One of the wounded at Sanity shooting says Sarah Palin and Glenn Beck are to blame. And they were able to find him and say, aha, will you repeat that on camera? Yes, I will. And he's a veteran, too, so they really got themselves a package there. We'll talk about that later on in the show. Jersey Shore continues to break records for MTV. Phenomenon is Jersey Shore. Big ratings, big show there on MTV. Ted Bell will join us to talk about Jersey Shore in a moment from Ted's Beverly Hills Steakhouse, and DeVernon Dozier coming up later on retirement, on baby boomers, on all kinds of stuff. And our affiliate spotlight tonight, WXNT 1430. That's just a bizarre drop. 1430 on your AM dial in Indianapolis and Grand Rapids, WTKG, 1230 AM on your dial.
Ted's a Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Hey everybody, Ted Bell here from Ted's of Beverly Hills, bringing you this portion of the Phil Hendry Show, and I'm going to be on to talk to Phil about some of these issues of the day, including this Jersey Shore.
Here come on down. Ted.
How's business, huh?
You know what? It's doing very well tonight, Phil. We've got a good crowd, and a very good crowd, although we have had that turnover, and I wanted to talk to you and your audience about this Jersey Shore. We do an awful lot of entertainment business here. We have a lot of people in the business.
Jersey Shore is Jersey Shore, the MTV reality show, which is essentially about a group of young Italian-Americans, and I say Italian-Americans because they're very decidedly ethnic, are they not?
Oh, I think it's a love letter. I think it is a love letter from the Italian-American community to the rest of us here in the United States. It's a very compelling program, but we did have some turnover here as the result of that television show, and why I want my staff to watch that show, as well as recommending to your listeners, viewers, Phil, to watch the show. It is a slice of what is really central in American culture right now, and I want my wait staff, and I want my office staff, and I want my bartenders, everyone, to be up on what Americans are watching, and one of those shows is Jersey Shore. And even if you're Italian American, I think you want to at least embrace that program for what it is. You may not like it, or you may think it's slightly offensive, or you may think that my take is, I don't know which it is.
Well, did you let a couple of your waitresses go?
We let a waitress go, and we let one of our sous chefs, one of our kitchen staff go. Both of them Italians, and it had nothing to do with them being Italian. It had to do with the fact that they did take exception to my wanting my staff to watch Jersey Shore. And they took exception to that, and I said, I understand. I said, I'm not saying that you are like those people. I said that I want you to watch that show so you can see what it is Americans are enjoying.
And why do you want your waiters and your waitresses to watch certain TV shows, to interact with the customers?
Well, like I said, Bill, we have a very big clientele. We have an entertainment clientele. We've got a young clientele. We've got a Friday night to Saturday night crowd here in Beverly Hills. They're going to come into town and have dinner. All different ages of people. So we want our people to be conversant. And when I ask them to watch a TV show, goodness knows, I don't know whether or not they're going to watch it or not. But when they actively seek me out and say, I will not watch that show, then, of course, I have no choice.
All right, Jersey Shore is about what?
Well, I mean, they got DJ Pauly, they got DJ Wow, they got Sammy, Vinny, Ronnie, Snooki, Mike the Situation. These are all characters on this show that live together. They live, they love, and they laugh in the in New Jersey. And they're Italians. Now, the reason why I tell you repeatedly that they're Italians, this show is revolutionary, Phil. Hold on for just a minute, Phil. I'm sorry. What? No, no. Take him to the back. This show is about, it's for the very first time, it is a television program whereby an ethnic minority or an ethnic group is portrayed on television. And we are welcomed, we are invited to laugh and to enjoy their antics and enjoy it for what it is.
What, meaning you're laughing at them because they're Italian-American?
You're laughing at them because they're Italian-American. Now, the last show that I remember that was on television that had that kind of courage, and I'll tell you, I think it is courage. I don't think it...
See, this is what you and I were talking about. Isn't that... What, you have two waitresses or two employees that you fired, two Italians, because they thought it was an offensive show.
And again, they may think it's an offensive show. I wanted them to watch the show just so they'd be conversant with the show, so they so that the people that come and eat dinner here would not feel as if they're talking to two people that are disconnected from reality. Now, they didn't like the show, and they told me they didn't want to watch it, and that's when I had to let them go.
Why would you fire them if they said, we don't like the show, we find it offensive?
Because at the end of the day, Phil, I'm the one that pays the, you know, I signed the checks. I'm the one that issued instructions. You can't say no to a boss and not have him react. And that's what happened. I wanted them to watch this show, Jersey Shore. It's a love letter from the Italian-American community. They invite us to essentially laugh at them. And the last time that I saw a show like this, it was Good Times on ABC, which was a black family living in a housing project. And that was a show that basically invited you to turn it on. There's black people. Laugh at them.
And do you really think that that is why Good Times or even Jersey Shore attracts an audience, because they're ethnic or because the principals are viewed as primarily ethnic or ethnically different?
Well, I think so. I do.
I mean, Jersey Shore, too.
Jersey Shore, too, yeah. I mean, the number one thing about Jersey Shore, and you need to understand this because I've watched every episode. I never miss it. And so I know more about Jersey Shore than probably anyone watching your program right now. The number one thing about Jersey Shore, and the number one thing you notice about Jersey Shore, are the fact that they're not just young kids who are, you know, kind of halfway between the Anglo culture and hip hop culture, however you want to say it, but that they're Italians. And they're very, very much the New York Italian. Hey, you know that?
And yeah, no, I understand. You're not telling me it's like a mafia movie or something.
No, it's not like that, but everything is hey. All right. The last time I saw a show that was similar was Good Times, because you had them living in a housing project. They were poor. And the young boy, Dynamite, and all that. So you were basically being told, here are African Americans, laugh. Now, I don't mean to...
Well, I mean, that's... I never got that. What I got was a struggling family.
Yeah, but they were a struggling family, Phil, but they were a black family. And these may be struggling kids, but they're Italians. And it's the first time since Good Times that we have been invited to watch a show and laugh at people because of their ethnicity. And I think it's a... for me, it's a wonderfully freeing moment.
Well, I know the show is successful. I've never heard anybody say that the whole reason why the show's successful is because they're Italians.
Well, that's not the whole reason. I mean, they're young and they're hip and to be perfectly honest, they're stupid. But what makes this show different from all the others is that you are welcome to laugh at them because of their... and I don't want to use a word that's offensive, but you know the words that they use because of the guinea, they use the word guinea.
And all right, I don't want to use any of those words. You understand?
But you know what I'm saying?
There's a stereotypically Italian-American...
Exactly, yeah. But it's more than just saying stereotypically Italian-American. It is as if you are on the street and you want to just blurt it out, not in a hostile way, you want to say it in a friendly way, you want to say in a very friendly way, you, oh, you're a, God, are you a, you know, and then use a word.
Use an ethnic, a slur.
Well, that's just it. I think that Jersey Shore, Phil, and I think if anybody wants to disagree, they may. Jersey Shore has taken those words like Guinea, like Greaseball. They're not slurs anymore. They are words of affection. I don't know how else to say it.
All right, let's hold just for a second. I'll give our number out. It's 877-876-7445, 877-876-7445. Ted Bell joining us from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Is Jersey Shore the first American show in many, many, many years that basically says to the audience, look at how funny these people are in terms of their ethnicity? Now, no one is saying that, right?
No one's saying it, but they, for some reason, they've been able to put a show on the air that allows us to just look at how I'm trying to find the right word. It allows us to look at just how greasy. I don't know how else to... You know,
well, how about how Italian?
Well, how Italian, but just how oily, and but it's fun. I don't mean it in a derogatory way. I mean it in a way that is a flattering thing. Now, I had to fire two very good workers, two Italian Americans, because of the fact that these two people objected to me insisting they watch this show. I need them to watch this show because I need for my employees to connect with my restaurant workers, my employees to connect with my customers. And I had to can them.
And they're both Italians.
They're Italian American. That's tough. That hurts. But when I tell somebody to sit down and watch a show, and they say to me, well, I'm an Italian-American, I find it offensive, and I say to them, that's really not what this is about. I need for you to watch it and understand you may find it offensive, but I got people coming in here all the time that think it's a riot, and I need for you to connect to that. That's a very difficult thing.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're talking to Ted Bell here from Ted's of Beverly Hills about the TV show Jersey Shore and why that show is a hit. And we also have Vernon Dozier coming up next hour. Why that show is a hit, and it's basically because it's the first time in a long time that we're allowed to laugh at an ethnic stereotype, which is the Italian-American. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. It's the Phil Henry Show.
What up, man?
Beverly Hills tonight, we have our slow-roasted prime rib, the baseball steaks. I think we're out of the ribs. We're out of the St. Louis beef ribs.
All right, we'll take a moment. Were these two employees good at what they did? We're talking to Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills here about the firing of two employees because they didn't watch Jersey Shore.
No, hold on. You've got a sarcastic sound to you there.
Yeah, I have the only reason why I'm sounding sarcastic is firing people because they don't watch a TV show.
It's part of what we do here at Ted's of Beverly Hills. It's part of what we do here at Ted's of Beverly Hills. It's part of how I relate... keep my wait staff relating to the customer. I know many of the people listening to your program don't know Jersey Shore, but it's a very big show. And even though it is a program about Italian Americans, and these two Italian waitresses objected to it.
And they're American waitresses of Italian descent?
That is correct, yeah. I still had to have them watch it. And I asked them to watch this program on a weekly basis because their shifts were in the daytime. And they came back after the second show and said, no, we can't watch it. We don't want to see all of this Italian-American, all of these stereotypes. And I had to let them go. And they were very, very good at their job. They had an awful lot of people who liked them. And
at what point, then, you fired them. They were good at their job. At what point does that not make sense?
Well, it doesn't make sense because they didn't do what I asked them to do. The bottom line, Phil, in any job is you got to have people to do what you ask them to do. And if they don't, then you're out of luck. If they don't do what you ask them to do, I don't care how good they are. I'm Kent Bell. See? And I built this restaurant up to the point where it is today. A big-time restaurant in Beverly Hills, California, making a lot of money and doing what I do.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, talking to Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills about the TV show Jersey Shore and the need for your employees to watch it because it's the hippest and cool. What makes this show hip and cool? Because it's Italians?
Because it is Italian-Americans that you are allowed to laugh at. Look, Bill.
When you say we're allowed to laugh at them, what do you mean?
Well, because they're funny. I mean, there's nobody that is hiding. No one's hiding the fact that they're Italians. Okay.
Well, there were people, though, when this show first went on the air who said that it was a bit of an offensive stereotype to see these folks, right?
Yeah, well, there were. There were very, very small groups of Italian-Americans out there. But for the most part, because Italian-Americans is just one part of the community, everyone liked this show because you were able to look at these, you know, Italians, and they were hysterical with their chains, you know, and their bar fights, and they're sleeping with all kinds of, and I'm not saying that that's typical of Italian-Americans, but you had an opportunity then to look at an ethnic group and to laugh. Now, the last time, as I said, was good times. There was another one called Chico and the Man where you could laugh at Puerto Ricans, but for the most part, you're not allowed to laugh at someone's ethnicity, so it was refreshing. And that's why I told my waiters and my waitstaff, let's watch this show. Now, the economy is tough. We need to get people into the restaurant.
You know, you got a real weird way of attracting customers, if you don't mind me saying, Ted.
What do you mean?
I got to get my waiters up to speed on a TV show so that we have customers coming in so that the economy's bad, but I don't understand that. How about just good old-fashioned food, you know?
We've got great food.
I know, so why not just do that instead of, hey, make sure you watch this TV show, too?
Well, we do, you know, but the point that I'm trying to make is that you've always give yourself the edge. And I like this show, Jersey Shore. I like it a lot. It relaxes me. I can sit and I can look at these greasy... Boy, I can't say it, can I?
I'd rather you not, no. Do you have a... Why is it about... What is it about Italians you like to laugh at?
Well, I know there's something about Italians I want to laugh at, but I mean, you know, anytime you have the chance to say, look at it, you know, use the word Guinea...
All right. You can use it when you're watching the show, not here, all right?
All right, but you know what I mean.
I know what you mean. Is that some kind of a pressure release for you?
It is a little bit. It is a little bit, yes. Because when I was coming up in the business, we had... How do I say this? When I was coming up in the restaurant business, we had certain kinds of people that tried to put the muscle on my father. Now, I'm not going to make any... comment.
Well, are you talking about organized crime?
I'm not going to make any comment.
All right. And what?
We had certain people that tried to put the arm on my father, and my father was fortunate enough through some of the contacts and connections that he had that he was able to keep them at bay. But ever since then, deep down, because I was a young man, but I was in the restaurant at the time, I've always wanted to be able to, I don't know, vent.
Well, Ted, what you're telling me is that these guys that put the arm on your father...
I'm not commenting on that. I would rather that you not.
All right, but you're drawing a clear connection, right?
Yes.
So what happened?
What happened was the following thing. I said, let's watch this Jersey Shore because these are the people that put the muscle on my father.
Italians.
I didn't say that.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call here. It is Catherine in Jersey City, New Jersey, listening on WWRL. Catherine, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, Phil.
Hi.
In regards to this gentleman.
Yes, ma'am.
If he ran a movie house and they were going to be showing pornography or films similar to that, he would not have the right to order his employees to watch pornography if they didn't. In fact, they could walk out.
I believe I would. I believe I would. And I'll tell you.
If I run a porn house. Excuse me, you're interrupting me.
Hold on for a minute.
Who? Which one of us?
Well, I tell you what. Are we going to a break? We are. So why don't you hold on, Catherine? We have to take a break. We'll be back. Phil Henry Show, 877-876. Are we going to a break? Yes, we are. 877-876. Phil, we'll be right back.
Phil Henry. World-famous Bill Hendry Show.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills on the Bill Hendry Show here. This portion of the Bill Hendry Show brought to you by Ted's of Beverly Hills as we continue discussing the TV show Jersey Shore and two waitresses that are fired.
Two waitresses you fired, huh?
Well, it's not about that.
All right, let me get back to the caller because we had Catherine hanging on to that break, and we appreciate that. Hi, Catherine. Go ahead. You're on with Ted Bell. We're talking about Jersey Shore and the fact, Ted, and I think, Catherine, you brought this up. You wanted your wait staff to watch this TV show. They refused, and you fired them.
Right, but I wasn't asking them to watch porn like this lady said.
No, she didn't say that. Go ahead, Catherine.
As far as the Jersey show, sure. And the Akamam, these are shows wherein the individuals act stupid and idiotic. And that's where the laughing comes from. It is not necessarily due to the ethnicity. And you said that those two waitresses were very good workers.
They were, but something funny about Italians when they start going on with the hey, you know what I mean? That's what I said to them.
No. No matter what ethnicity it is, that is stupid, the way they're behaving. As you said, getting into bar fights, falling down drunk, that is idiotic. And people who watch that do not have much culture. They like to see other people making fools of themselves.
When my father had it, a couple of these guys put their arm on my dad. And
all right, but you're talking about organized crime here, right?
Yeah.
I'm not.
But you don't... No, I'm talking to Ted, though. He says that his father was muscled by, you know...
Right, and so I'm just saying to Catherine, it's relaxing for me to see a couple of Italians act stupid and fall in the gutter. Now, what I said to the waitresses... were very good, probably my two best waitresses, without question. One of them worked in the prime rib room, and the other was in our main dining room. And I said, you know what, you are two of the best I've ever had, you're fired. I had to say that because they wouldn't watch Jersey Shore. Do you know how stupid I felt doing that?
Well,
very
look in the mirror.
Yeah.
Who's watching Jersey Shore?
Yes.
You're the
I'm
one
the
that's
one.
Watching
I'm...
Jersey Shore, okay? Praising
I'm
your
the
stupid
one.
Actions. You're the one that's getting a laugh out of the stupid actions.
Right. I'm the one that had to fire them. You're right.
And
but I had to fire them because they wouldn't watch me.
They would have
they
the
are.
Right to sue you. They would have the right to take you to court.
Why? Because I told them they had to watch a show that my people that come to my restaurant
it
watch?
Was not,
no, no.
It was not connected to their job. They were doing their job. They knew how to do their job. Watching
that's
a stupid
absolutely.
Show is not necessary for the betterment of your customers. Your customers were getting good service. Your customers were getting good service.
No, they weren't. They were getting great service, but they were not getting conversation about Jersey Shore, which is what they wanted to talk about.
Well, wait a minute. Are you telling me the customers...
I'm telling you, I've got a lot of show business people. And when a waitress comes up and she's doing her job, hey, what about Jersey Shore? And then she looks back at them with that bulkhead stare... I can't, you know, I gotta fire her.
So she's doing everything right, except she didn't know about Jersey Shore. She's fired.
Yes, unfortunately. And did I feel like an ass? Yes, I did.
You should
did I have to
mirror.
Fire her? I do look in the mirror and I say, you're the guy that had to fire those women. And it wasn't pretty. and it hurt. It hurt bad. But they're on the bricks. It's their own fault.
Well,
it's
you know,
fault.
That's
yeah. Well, it's I hope they're fault. Listening yeah, and they take you to court.
All right. Thank you very much, Catherine. 877-876-PHIL, World Famous Phil Henry Show with Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills, talking about the TV show Jersey Shore, some sort of television. This is a mandatory viewing of this show on the part of your staff.
That's correct, yes.
Have you had any problems with anybody else?
No, no, because the rest of the staff saw what happened to Katarina is the name of one of the girls, and Janelle was the other girl. Now, they saw what happened, and both of those girls were Italian-American, but that didn't make any difference. I didn't fire them because they're Italian. I fired them because they had the problem with the show. And I don't see it. Now, understand that I am sensitive to the cultural and racial differences of all of my employees. We are EOE right down the line. We adhere to California state law and federal law. Okay, enough said. However, if a television show comes along that shows Italian Americans in a hysterically funny light, and I don't mean in a negative, and it just so happens that in my past, my father was muscled by some big, you know, and you don't want me to say it,
big Italian, you say an Italian mobsters.
Right. And I have the opportunity in the restaurant for the very first time in 33 years to use an Italian slur. Naturally, I'm going to want to take advantage of that. Now,
this isn't anything that a customer is going to understand, let alone one of your employees, that you have a personal...
You're going to say, I don't have a personal problem, Phil.
Well, you don't think you have a personal problem that you want all of your employees to watch this show about Italian Americans, that's what you think it's about, because it makes them look funny, and because the Italian waitresses didn't want to watch it, and you get to use Italian slurs? Is that what you said?
Hold on for a minute, Phil.
No, didn't you say that you get to use in the restaurant?
Yes, I do. I use them not in front of the customers, in front of the employees. I use them in front of the employees. I do not use them in front of the customers. And the employees have no say in it because it's on TV. So if I come out of the office and I've been watching Jersey Shore and I go, hey, you know, and if I could use one of the words, you greaseball and you guinea and that kind of thing, and one of them complains, I can say, no, it was just on television. So that's number two. And then finally, number three is the fact that the program is very, very popular. And so many people in the entertainment business watch it, and so I have to have my wait staff up on it. When these two ladies said they refused to watch it, and I tried to make light of it, I said, well, then you two guineas, you know, whatever, get out of here. And I gave them a...
Boy, that's a very, very nice thing to do, Ted.
I was kidding, and they knew it, and I gave them their severance, and I gave them notice pay. They were very well taken care of.
That's a nice thing to do, though. With two people you're putting on the street, you two guineas.
I didn't say it in a way that was hostile, and I didn't say it in a way that was the least bit demeaning. I said it in a way that I think was very, very positive. Anyway, you know, that's what, and we'd like to invite people down here tonight. We are having a special football night just ahead of the weekend, and it's going to be a popular thing every week. We do this. It'll be a very popular thing tomorrow and on Sunday, and we hope that people will come down.
So what about Jersey Shore? Are you still demanding that people watch it?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. But I haven't had to fire anybody because everyone's watching it.
And you're still using these Italian slurs?
In the way. Oh, boy.
I know. In the kitchen.
In the kitchen with the waitstaff, yes.
All right. Ted Bell, folks. 877-876-PHIL. Next hour, we got Vernon Dozier coming up about planned wills and living trusts and all that stuff. Next hour, World Famous Phil Henry Show.
You're listening to the World Famous Phil Henry Show.
Hello, Dr. Green Thumb, paging Dr. Green Thumb.
time for the Dr. Green Thumb Report here tonight on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, Dateline, Palm Springs, California. Mark Wahlberg has explained that his children prompted him to stop smoking marijuana. Ain't that great? E! Online reports that while accepting Variety's Indie Impact Award at the Palm Springs International Film Festival, Wahlberg joked that the statuette resembled a bong before adding that he doesn't use anymore. Wahlberg continued at the Hotel Parker Palm Springs, "I stopped smoking weed for my kids. One day we were driving, you could smell it from somewhere. My daughter asked what the smell was. I told her it was a skunk. Then she said, sometimes daddy smells like that to me and to my wife, so I knew that I had to take a bath." No, he said, so I knew I had to stop smoking dope. Chuck Norris's marijuana hits L.A. That's not Chuck Norris's marijuana. It's called Chuck Norris marijuana. Much like Tom Cruise a few years ago, Chuck Norris has become the latest celebrity with the dubious honor of having a new strain of weed named after him. Back in April 08, lawyers for Tom Cruise became concerned over licensed cannabis clubs in Northern California selling a strain of marijuana called Tom Cruise Purple. It reportedly featured a picture of Tom Cruise on the front laughing hysterically. That'd be fun. Well, I think it's funny anyway. Anyway, said one weed connoisseur, "I heard it's the kind of pot that makes you hallucinate." Okay, indeed, the new Chuck Norris Black and Blue Dream is described as having quite the kick. A picture of Cruise laughing. Anyway, when TMZ contacted a rep for the 70-year-old actor, that would be Chuck Norris, the rep replied that the product is definitely not authorized. Well, do you think? Anyway, it's unclear whether any legal means will be taken to stop the cannabis clubs from selling the new strain. The Tom Cruise strain is still available. Well, if it's legally sold in a medical marijuana dispensary, yeah, they could sue. It's called, Said lawyer Lisa Bloom in 2008, you know, if his lawyer sues over this, I'm going to wonder what they've been smoking. Nobody really thinks that Tom Cruise is endorsing this particular kind of marijuana. Why don't celebrities occasionally just laugh at things? This is obviously supposed to be a joke. That's a picture of him laughing on it. He's clearly not making any money off of it. He's not endorsing it. I say, just let it go. That's great, Lisa. Well, but you know, the other thing is, they are making money using his picture, so that's worth some dough. All right, are we still on, is that it, man? I thought we had another one. Oh, here's another story. Maine police seize rolling marijuana nursery. Police in Wellville, Maine say they've never seen anything like the portable marijuana nursery they seized from two men pushing it down the street. Police officers investigated after receiving a report on Tuesday of two men pushing what appears to be a huge toolbox down the street that was making a lot of noise. Police Chief Joseph Massey says it turned out to be a self-contained marijuana growing unit with with lights, a fan, watering system inside, and all kinds of stuff. So they were just rolling this thing down the street. Massey says the Morning Sentinel Massey told the Morning Sentinel newspaper police found marijuana residue in the box, which is 4.5 feet long, 2 feet wide, 4 feet tall. Police say 34-year-old Justin Leibowitz was charged with possession of drug paraphernalia. And finally, in Marin County, Florida, a Marin County jail officer is accused of smuggling weed into the county jail by hiding it inside a submarine sandwich. According to sheriff's deputies, Joseph Jones was smuggling the marijuana for an inmate who promised to give him a bottle of tequila. What kind of a loser? I mean, what are you guys paying those guys? You give me a bottle of tequila, I'll smuggle dope for you? I mean, anyway, according to deputies, two of the inmates' friends would in turn buy the sandwiches and smoke the weed in them. That sounds good to me. What a deal. The Subway sandwich teriyaki chicken thang had 8 grams of green leafy substance, which later tested positive as oregano. No, it was marijuana. Jones was supposed to give the marijuana-laced sub to the inmate, but was caught Wednesday. It is not yet known what led to the officer getting caught. How about he's an alcoholic? It sounds like that to me. There it is, man. That's our Green Thumb Report for tonight. Vernon Dozier coming up later on, and he'll be talking as a baby boomer about estate planning and all kinds of stuff. Apparently, he is convinced that this generation of boomers, they're too young to die. And so he's not necessarily going to be doing any estate planning. We'll talk with him about that coming up in a few minutes here. Our number, 877-876-7445 here on the Phil Henry Show. And, of course, our website is philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. We have a new piece of, by the way, paraphernalia. I mean,
can't say paraphernalia.
I understand. A new piece of merchandise that we're rolling out. very, very soon, man. Some guy today or yesterday or the day before, there's a gentleman who they grabbed a hold of him and they ain't letting go of this guy. He was a shooting victim in Tucson. His name is Eric Fuller. And when they got a hold of this guy, that is the individuals who are doing what President Obama said not to do, which is essentially continue the rhetoric and blame people for this thing. They got a hold of this guy, and man, they are milking this for all it's worth. And when I say they, I mean, I think I saw Ed Schultz talking about it. I saw Oberfuhrer talking about it. I think I heard Fat Ass talking. I know I heard Fat Ass talking about it. So there was Walsh. There was Punk Face, there was Fat Ass, and there was Oberfuhrer. All four of them, and Butch.
Butch? Who's Butch?
Who do you think? In any event, Arizona shooting victim Eric Fuller blames Palin, Glenn Beck, and others. Perfect. A wounded survivor of the Tucson shooting, the critically injured Representative Gabrielle Giffords is blaming Sarah Palin, House Speaker John Boehner, Fox TV host Glenn Beck, former Nevada GOP Senate candidate Sharon Angle, Barry Goldwater, Ronald Reagan, Abraham Lincoln, and all of the above for the shooting. Mr. Fuller said, it looks like Palin, Beck, Angle, and the rest got their first target. He said that in an interview with our dear friend. Is that woman Amy Goodman on Democracy Now? Is that who that is?
Yeah, I think it is.
Oh, she's a pain in the... He went on to place blame on House Majority Leader John Boehner, Jesse Kelly. Oh, boy, you name it. There isn't anybody that he didn't think of. Fuller, a 63-year-old veteran, which makes it even better. See, what you want to do, and this is how ridiculous the argument has gotten, is the following thing. Were you in the military? No. Well, then you can't talk about it. So you got to run out and get your military guy to speak on your behalf. He's a veteran, so you can't. And I even saw Oberman with a purely predictable and just utterly cliche line, I believe that morally he has the right. He's a 63-year-old veteran. He campaigned for Giffords during her reelection and was at the supermarket for the Congress on Your Corner event. He was shot in the knee and in the back in the tragedy that left 6 people dead and 13 wounded. I was in shock, and I just wandered out into the parking lot, Fuller said, and a woman was pushing a cart full of groceries out there, and I said to her, I've been shot, and she looked at me like I was crazy. I think she was a Republican. He didn't say that. I just... Earlier this week, in an interview with CBS News, Fuller didn't go as far to point figures and said he called the shooter, Jared Loudner, a madman. I hadn't ever had any trauma experience at that level before, he told CBS, and I didn't quite know how to react. I felt like we were in for more and possibly to be given a coup de grace by this madman that was so vigorously exercising his Second Amendment rights. No, he wasn't. With all due respect, Mr. Fuller, you're a veteran. You sound like an imbecile, which is not the first time I've called a veteran an imbecile. I think I called my dad an imbecile once. He's a veteran. And I'm pretty sure I called my brother an imbecile once, and he's a veteran.
You're kidding me. You told your dad?
Yeah, when I was a kid, I yelled at my dad, called him an idiot, and all kinds of stuff. And my brother, too. And both of those guys are veterans. So, and now this cat says that this guy Lautner was exercising his Second Amendment rights.
Well, why? Yeah, he was. Why do you say it wasn't?
There's nothing in the Second Amendment that says you get to go out and just shoot anybody you want, man. You realize that?
Yeah, don't you know how to read it?
Yeah, I know how to read it. I'm just asking him okay, so what are you saying?
What am I saying? There's nothing about what this guy was doing that had anything to do with the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment says that we have the right to bear arms. The Second Amendment says... people have the right to bear arms to protect themselves. I don't know what the exact wording is, but you can look it up. It doesn't say take a gun and go out and start blasting on people. So that was also not a very bright thing for that man to say. However, while he was recovering in the hospital from a gunshot wound to his knee and his back, Eric Fuller wrote down some thoughts about the tragedy, which he shared with Democracy Now!
And the first thing that I wrote down and what my reaction was to it was... how many other demented people are out there? It looks like Palin, Beck, Sharon Angle, and the rest got their first target. Their wish for Second Amendment activism has been fulfilled. Senseless hatred leading to murder, lunatic fringe anarchism subscribed to by John Boehner, mainstream rebels with vengeance for all, even 9-year-old girls. There was a little girl named Christina Green, 9 years old.
it was one of the deceased.
I got to tell you, man, somebody should look into this guy because it's too pat.
What do you mean?
I mean, it's too pat. It's just too pat. Either he's not a veteran or he is a veteran and somebody was feeding him. And when I mean feeding him lines. Or it's just too pat. Or maybe he was a veteran. Or maybe it's all as it seems. And he's an idiot. Fuller also blames Representative Gifford's congressional opponent, Jesse Kelly. Oh, okay.
Another thing I wrote down was, can we have another fundraiser at the target range? Jesse Kelly. Jesse Kelly ran against her in the election. And I've heard him speak a couple of times. And I couldn't believe he was a real candidate. I thought he was just like a fake candidate. It doesn't seem like anybody would consider him seriously. He came within 4,000 votes of winning the election. His one of his slogans was, shoot a fully automatic M16 with Jesse Kelly. Kind of a very marginal personality and a low mentality.
There you go. We'll be back with Vernon Dozier, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.